been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, April 20th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. First, let's get a Dogecoin update. It's trading at 38 cents right now for all you Dogecoin traders. At least that's the bid I'm getting. The Dow is down 122 right now, 33,956. I think you could certainly say it's selling off a little bit from overbought territory. The NASDAQ right now is down 23. It was positive for a while, but not anymore. It's down 23 points right now. Meanwhile, over at the S&P 500, which has been hitting new highs here recently, it's down 9 points, 41.54. The small caps down again today, down 0.5%. I guess that's the worst performing index of all. Down almost 0.5% there on the Russell 2K. Now, oil down 13 cents, $63.25. Gold up 290, but it just doesn't venture very far from that $1,700 area, does it? 1773. I mean, Dogecoin obviously moving a lot more rapidly than gold. Silver up 12 cents, 25.96. We've got the 10-year yield behaving itself quite nicely today, 1.59, very quiet out there on the bond market. We've been as high as 1.9 here recently. We're back to 1.6 now. And Bitcoin is down $293 per coin to 56,000. 388 after hitting, 52,000, something like that over the weekend, and 62,000 last week. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had kind of a nasty day in the market yesterday. And it was those really high-flying momentum stocks that led the downward move in the market. I'm going to just mention some names here. These are names that did great last year. These are names that are doing horrible this year. We also had a downgrade yesterday of the semiconductor sector. I want to get into that because they cited price-to-sales ratio. How about that? Who else has been talking about price-to-sales ratios recently? Well, right here on the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson. So yesterday, kind of a nasty little sell-off, much worse underneath the surface. The NASDAQ was down 137, but when you looked at the chip stocks, they were down 5%, I would say, on average. And, of course, I use Cathie Wood's ARK ETF as a proxy for kind of the momentum high growth names. That thing was down almost 3% yesterday. So depending on where you were at in the market, you had a different outcome. If you were in those high flyers from last year, you did very poorly, and you're doing poorly again today. The value stocks, however, yesterday held up very well. And I also saw the commodity stocks do quite well yesterday with corn breaking out, soybeans breaking out. Yes, there are ETFs. And the shipping sector did very well yesterday as shipping rates continue to rise, I guess, as the economy comes back online around the world. And that was kind of your day yesterday. But you get into those high flyers like Butterfly Networks and Ballard Power and Blink Charging and ChargePoint and CRISPR and 3D Printing and DraftKings and Fuel Cell and Fisker and Laser This and Laser That and Marathon and Moon and MicroStrategy. Yeah, the high flyers look awful. They continue to look awful. They peaked in mid-February, and they've been selling off ever since. Kind of a freight train, probably running over a lot of high-growth investors out there since February. We had global shares following in our footsteps last night. Japan was down 2% overnight, India down 0.5%, Europe down about 1%. Now, the futures have been negative all morning. Of course, we've opened up here to the downside. The transports are up today. I do see that. We've got a lot of companies that have reported earnings here since the close yesterday and this morning. You know, this week we're going to get one-third of the Dow stocks. 10 out of 30 reporting their earnings, and we're going to get another 70 or so stocks from the S&P 500 reporting today. And we'll get into those earnings here in a bit. There's been several. The U.S. House approved a cannabis banking bill, which sets the stage for national legislation that would make it legal, following in the footsteps of Canada. They did it maybe a year or two ago, and Mexico recently did it. Now the U.S. Following suit. Today is Dogecoin Day. It's Doge Day. Supporters are hoping to see the crypto hit $1 just 1 week after it was valued at just 9 cents. It's been valued as low as 0.5 cents for most of its 7-year history. But all of a sudden, the hype's behind it. The coin, which started as a meme currency, already hit some milestones that didn't seem possible. At 40 cents, its market value has already topped $50 billion. That makes Dogecoin larger than even some blue chip companies. Well, you know what? There's not a lot of companies in the universe out there that are over $50 billion. But Dogecoin, currently trading at 38 cents, has a larger market cap than most publicly traded companies. Are we in a bubble with the cryptocurrencies, a massive bubble? Well, yesterday the semiconductors got hit pretty hard. There's the NVIDIA ARM deal, which is trying to take place, and it's not going well. A lot of people out there think, the regulators think, that would be too big of a company. But the bigger news yesterday was Susquehanna downgrading the chip sector, saying that the chip sector has run its cycle. Well, this current cycle. But here's the part that stood out to me. The price to sales multiple. Okay, I've been talking about price to sales a lot here recently. It made the news 3 weeks ago when we hit a higher price-to-sales ratio for the S&P 500 than we had in the year 2000, a year that is really emblazoned in my memory because I was there managing money during the year 2000 and a witness thereof of one of the biggest bubbles of all time, the dot-com bubble. And it did not end well at all. Well, today we're at a higher price-to-sales multiple for the S&P 500 than we were back then. But here's the news on the chip sector. What's the 30-year average price-to-sales ratio for the Philly SOX Index? Well, it's 4.1. Where is the chip sector today? 7.5. That's way, almost double what it has averaged over the year. So another major red flag in a sector that has been leading the market here, I would say, recently. I mean, it's been one of the sectors that hasn't sold off with the rest of the NASDAQ. But yesterday, all of a sudden, pretty wicked sell-off in the chips, and Susquehanna calling out the high price to sales ratio. Well, Citigroup apparently doesn't seem to care. They are topping Applied Materials as their top semiconductor equipment pick. That's a stock that I have featured a few times over the last several months. It still looks pretty good to me, but I wouldn't be rushing out and buying any chip stocks just yet. I think this dust needs to settle, and I think you got to focus, if you are going to go that route, on price-to-sales stocks way under that index, that sector average of 7.4. Okay, one other little news on before we go to the break here. NASA's Ingenuity helicopter lifted off from the dusty red surface of Mars on Monday, making history with the first powered control flight on another planet. Well, it was a, you know, one of these drones. It's not true that it was being controlled by an 8-year-old with a joystick in Houston, however. All right, this is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson. Dow down 150, S&P down 11 right now, and the NASDAQ is now down 31. Dogecoin is down 1 cent to 0.3756. All right, now, tobacco stocks fall on widely anticipated move by the Biden administration to cut nicotine levels in cigarettes. Well, this has been expected, and they also want to do a menthol ban, and that also expected. I guess youths get hooked on cigarettes by menthol helps them get introduced to it, I guess. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, okay? I don't know how many people can say that, but that's just the way it is. Tobacco stocks, however, they fear that, you know, they could see some loss in sales without that nicotine addiction level, with it being reduced to not as addictive level. Bank of England. Now, here's one of my worries with the cryptocurrencies, and I've stated this before. These cryptocurrencies that are out there have been brought, you know, to the fore by private enterprise. And it would seem to me that these big governments kind of want to offer their own cryptocurrencies, which would put a lot of pressure on these publicly traded ones out there. China already has their own cryptocurrency, okay? And I doubt that they allow any competitors. The Bank of England forms a group to study Britcoin. Well, we had Brexit. Now we'll be talking about Britcoin. The Bank of England forms a task force to explore issuing a central bank digital currency for use by households and business that would exist alongside cash, bank deposits, but not replace them. It would be called the Britcoin. Many central banks have been looking at the potential for using digital currencies, but so far the Bahamas is the only country that's issued one. I guess China is at the trial phase. They're conducting trials in several cities. Sweden has indicated it may issue one by 2026. And of course, I think Nicolas Maduro down in Venezuela started one. I avoided that one for sure. Apple permits Parler return to the App Store. Now, I'm surprised. I would have never guessed that. That was like California a few weeks ago, not banning fracking. That shocked me. Apple permitting Parler, which is a competitor to Twitter, a conservative competitor to Twitter. They're going to permit Parler's return to the App Store. They had to tweak a lot of things to give them more control over the content, but that's kind of a surprise there. And of course, Apple will report earnings That's one of the big ones. The big ones these days are Apple, Amazon, and definitely Tesla, okay? Tonight's Netflix after the close. That's the big one for tonight. Apple will report earnings next Wednesday. Apple Computer. Soaring carbon emissions on track to reverse the 2020 sharp decline. Well, of course we had a sharp decline in carbon emissions in 2020. We couldn't leave our house. Well, global carbon emissions are now on track to jump 4.8% this year. But here's the money line. This comes from the IEA. This is a dire warning that the economic recovery from the COVID crisis is currently anything but sustainable for our climate, said Fatih Birol, executive director of the IEA. Unless governments around the world move rapidly to start cutting emissions, we are likely to face an even worse situation in 2022. Well, someone needs to talk to China. For sure, BP's going to stop flaring those wells in the Permian Basin. Yeah, they burn off the excess natural gas, which is a byproduct of drilling for oil. They'll stop flaring. BP's goal is to produce a environmentally friendly gasoline. I guess, well, okay, whatever. Lumber futures limit up as breakneck rally continues. Well, you know what? I talked about this yesterday, and I do own some lumber stocks. But, you know, we're seeing inflation. I think today Procter & Gamble said they're going to raise prices because the ingredients are going up in price. Coca-Cola said they're going to raise prices. I do watch the commodities as part of my daily walk through the market. I've been watching corn, which obviously is a sweetener. I've been watching soybeans and wheat and others. Those prices have been going up, but nothing like lumber. Lumber prices, the futures were halted yesterday. I featured a lumber stock last week, and that thing's just been going nuts here recently. But yesterday, they had to halt the lumber futures market because of it was out of whack. Lumber is up 50% year to date. So next time you're at Lowe's to pick up a 2x4, check out the price and see if it's a little more than you paid last time. The way to get even is to buy some lumber stocks. Well, I can think of several offhand. I've watched Louisiana Pacific, LPX, rocketing higher. Boise Cascade's been rocketing higher. Resolute Forest Products has been rocketing higher. And, of course, that's also going to drive up the cost of things made with lumber, like homes. Electric vehicle stocks follow Tesla lower after the fatal Model S crash. Let me just say that the EV sector looks horrible. I mentioned several stocks that were in the line of fire again yesterday selling off. I have no exposure to these stocks. I did last year. This is a different year. But stocks like Lordstown Motors and QuantumScape and Workhorse and Blink Charging and Nikola and Fisker and on and on and on continue to look horrible. And, of course, Tesla is the mothership. Now, Musk is saying that the autopilot was not involved in the fatal Tesla crash. He says that it was not on. Their data logs recovered so far show that the autopilot was not enabled, and this car did not purchase this add-on feature. So we'll still have to find out. What they do know, that nobody was behind the wheel of the 2019 Tesla Model S when it crashed. Sometimes my wife says that about me when I'm driving. Who's behind the wheel? Anybody? Kansas City Southern gains on report. Well, we got a deal maybe. This would be the second deal this year in the railroad space. You know what? Last year it was electric vehicles and lithium batteries and Bitcoin mining machines. This year it's lumber and railroads. What a difference just 1 year makes. That's why it's good to be unconstrained and be able to go anywhere in the market that I feel might be productive. Anyways, when we come back, we've got several earnings report, and of course our featured stock of the day might even have two of them for you today. This is Bill Gunderson's The Best Stocks Now Show. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now Show. Well, if you're looking for any big winners in the market today, good luck. I just went through the top movers percentage-wise out of my 5,621 charts in my database. I don't see anything that looks interesting whatsoever. Dow down 193 right now. You know, I just, back of my mind, do you think the investors, do you think the market might just be a little bit nervous? You know, we're going to have a big verdict here this week on the Chauvin trial out there in Minnesota. If it doesn't go the right way, could we see civil unrest? You know, I don't know. The market weighs as a weighing machine. Okay, it weighs a lot of what-ifs along the way, and there may just be a little bit of trepidation and nervousness about, the verdict to be announced, I guess, later this week. Anyways, those are just my thoughts. As a money manager, I've got to consider all the possibilities out there. Well, I do think market valuation has a lot to do with it also. Overbought territory, a lot of the technical indicators are indicating overbought territory for the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ, and the small caps, which started to crumble a couple weeks ago, a little bit, from their recent big rally. So we'll be on it. I do have three hedges in place right now, one against the small caps, one against the NASDAQ, and another one against the NASDAQ, but a different kind of a hedge. So anyways, let's move on from here. We've got some earnings coming in today. We'll go through those real fast. There's really not, well, you got some big Dow stocks. There's no question about that, okay? IBM. One of the most boring stocks in the universe. No growth for what, the last decade or so? Their growth over the last 5 years in earnings has been minus 6% per year. But you know what? It's having a good day. It's up 4.4%. The Dow would be down a lot more were it not for IBM. And IBM pays a big dividend, 4.7%. But I've said many times, I love big dividend-paying stocks, but I also require them to be growing their earnings. And IBM has not done this in years. Their earnings have been shrinking since over the last 10 years. Johnson & Johnson beats by 24 cents. Of course, Johnson & Johnson, another Dow stock, it's having a very good day. J&J is up 1.9%. Boy, what's really bringing that? I'm going to have to look during the break. Something's bringing that Dow down with Johnson & Johnson and IBM having good days. Well, there it is right there. It looks like Boeing and Nike and DuPont are the culprits today. Okay, let's see what else. The Travelers, that's another Dow stock out of St. Paul. Minneapolis, where all the action is with the Chauvin trial. We have a lot of listeners to the show, a lot of clients. Travelers up a dollar after that. Philip Morris beats by 18 cents. That's another one. A member of the Dow, 10 Dow stocks will report this week. Good day for Philip Morris, up 1.5%. I'm surprised the Dow is down that much. Procter & Gamble, another one. So they'll be raising prices because the cost of ingredients, commodities, is going up. Procter & Gamble is also up 29 cents today. Abbott Labs, okay, now there's one we own. Little disappointment today, not much. I still like Abbott Labs. It's down 3.9% today, but it hit a new all-time high just about 4 or 5 weeks ago. United Airlines misses by 45 cents. That comes as no surprise. That's not a very pretty chart. I think a lot of that reopening was built into that stock and then some. And at $50 a share, or 60 recently, 64, I didn't think it belonged there. Now it's down to 50, and it's down 9% today. Lockheed Martin, another big company, they missed a little bit, down 1%. And that's it from the earnings front. Now, let's enter the tunnel of speculation, where many never return, right? Think about one of these old TV shows from the 60s with the tunnels spinning and all this psychedelic stuff and everything. SpaceX expected to capture the public's fascination with a moon landing. Well, Elon Musk, I'm sure we'll hear much about that, but they've been chosen to land something on the moon. SpaceX has, as investors look to the moon. Well, SpaceX is valued at $74 billion. Okay, there's a lot of Bitcoin news today. There's a new ETF, DAPP, D-A-P-P. I'll be adding it to the Best Stocks Now app right here after the show. I haven't been able to find its top 10 holdings, but it's the Global Digital Assets Equity Index. Do I have interest in it? No. I do not, but it's the VanEck Digital Transformation ETF. It plummeted on Monday in midday trading action. DAPP, the newly launched exchange-traded fund, otherwise known as an ETF, was the worst-performing ETF yesterday, down 9.3%. DAPP, which launched last week on April 14th, has tumbled downward out of the gate. Since its early inception, DAPP is down 23.4%. Well, it just came public 5 days ago. Ouch. PayPal launches crypto trading. Okay, well, there's a competitor to Coinbase, right? You can use your Venmo app to buy and sell cryptos. Let's check in on Dogecoin. This is Dogecoin Day. I don't know who declared it, but we're watching it. Dogecoin is selling off right now. It's down 7.6%. It's at 0.36. Let's see. CFRA analyst Chris Keeper initiates coverage of Coinbase with a buy rating. He says crypto assets are here to stay. Well, let's see how Coinbase is doing today. Not very good. It's down 2.2%. Let's not forget that Coinbase got as high as $429 on opening day. It's down $100 from that high. I'm not touching Coinbase. You do what you want to do. I'm not touching Coinbase. Let's see what else we got. Overstock.com. Okay, we're still in that tunnel of speculation here. Is lower after Bitcoin weekend stumble. You know, there's a lot of stocks that are proxies for Bitcoin. You've got MicroStrategy that's holding a couple billion or something like that of bitcoins instead of cash. Overstock is another one. I don't think Overstock knows what kind of company it wants to be, but it does trade kind of in lockstep with Bitcoin. Okay, here's one more. Lion Group enters a transfer maintenance agreement with Shanghai Minibaba. Lion Group. If you want the symbol there, LGHL announced that its subsidiary, Lion Wealth, entered into an Antminer transfer and maintenance agreement with Shanghai Minibaba Network Technology to acquire 5,000 brand new Bitmain Antminers S9 Hydro in a single transaction. The equipment will be deployed in Sichuan, China, and used for Bitcoin mining. Well, yesterday I talked about, look, the iron ore miners are doing great right now. The copper miners are doing fantastic right now. The lithium miners are starting to pick up right now. The dollar got clobbered again yesterday, and that push is pushing kind of hard assets higher. And I noticed a lot of hard assets slash commodities continue to sizzle out there. They had to stop the trading in lumber yesterday and the wood futures, the lumber futures, because they were so overheated. So it's up to you. I mean, you can buy real miners that mine industrial metals that are used in things. in a growing economy, or there's Bitmain ant miners. Speaking of ant miners, I've got a few in my backyard. Maybe I need a few. GameStop rallies. This is the most overpriced stock in the market after CEO development, as sell side continues to doubt valuation. Well, here's another one. Here's analyst Joseph Feldman of Telsey puts out a 12-month target price of $30. I'm at 20. He's at 30. The stock is at 159. Okay, well, there you go. One more, Ag Eagle. Now, this one, actually, you know, the agriculture stocks are a good place to be this year. In fact, I might, my featured stock of the day might come from the fields of Kansas when we come back. But UAVS has developed a drone solution for crops. We've got them flying over Mars around the landscape there. How about dropping, planting, fertilizing, you know, getting the bugs away, checking on the health of the plants via drones? UAVS. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, not a very good day. Dow down 255 right now, 33,822. And the NASDAQ down 112 now, 13,802. Well, my hedges are doing well today, and I'm sure value is holding up a heck of a lot better than growth is. Well, you know, one of the leading sectors in the market this year, I've been reporting since the beginning of March, how the market really did a 180. Yes, the market continued to go higher, but not on the backs of the stocks that led the market last year. There was a very, very vicious internal rotation within the market. That, you know, I mean, look, if you're a growth investor, it came along like a thief in the night with the money flowing out of a lot of last year's leading stocks, flowing out of the cloud and into regional banks, right? Flowing out of semiconductor stocks and flowing into the building sector. Well, this is quite a radical change because most people in the market today, a lot of the newcomers especially, don't know a whole lot about the building stocks and the regional bank stocks. I doubt very much if they're on the radar of many of the you know, millennials buying stocks on the Robinhood platform. But, you know, in my 24 years in the business, I've been through several cycles in the business where we've had massive rotations in the market. And as I've said many times, if you're a mutual fund manager or an ETF manager and the name of your ETF is the innovation fund, the transformation fund, or whatever, you're pretty much married to, your hands are tied to remain within that discipline. Whereas I am unconstrained. And when I started to see that massive rotation take place, I did not have to stay in the stocks that I did so well with last year. I could move into new sectors, other sectors. I was not constrained by any bylaws within my fund or my ETF. I am a money manager. I have a premier growth portfolio, but I can buy, if value stocks are the best opportunity out there for potential growth in a portfolio, you can certainly go in different directions. And I did. I made a radical makeover of my portfolios, and I'm glad I did it. When I look back on some of the stocks I sold a long time ago, the Teladoc of the world and the Fivers of the world and the Etsy's and this and that, and where they're at today versus where I sold them, and I have no interest getting back into them. And this is a completely different market, and I think it's going to be almost impossible for a lot of the newcomers to the market to accept this fact. They're going to keep doing what they did last year. Pretty soon they're going to get frustrated with the market because those high flyers are continuing to get clobbered. And eventually they'll leave the market and say, well, the market doesn't work. But the market's been hitting new highs. It's just been hitting those new highs on the backs of a completely different group of stocks. I doubt that the millennials are buying copper miners. No, they're buying anthill miners, right? It's just a different mindset. Well, the market is what it is. The weather changes daily. The market changes daily. The market goes through cycles. It went through a massive high-growth cycle coming out of the late March of last year at the bottom of COVID, right when I said this is time to get in. You can go look at the articles. People say, you mention those every day. Well, of course I do. I'm damn proud of making that call last March and how well we did during the next 12 months. And then we got caught by surprise by the rapid rotation out of those high growth stocks and into sectors like building and fertilizer and regional banks and financials, as interest rates had a major impact contracting high PE multiples. Well, the stock I've chosen to feature today is from the building sector, one of the best sectors in the entire market this year. If you haven't noticed, the home building sector remains on fire. So we'll talk about a stock that this symbol used to be Iowa Beef and Pork. I've been in the market long enough to remember IBP is Iowa Beef and Pork, something that the Congress produces, a lot of pork. They're the biggest pork producer in the world. Iowa's second. IBP is now Installed Building Products. They make insulation for homes, right? And they install said insulation. Price to sales ratio. I've been saying this year in this totally different environment, keep it between 1 to 3 price to sales. It's 2.4. Forward PE, 19. That's one half of the growth rate of 36. Peg ratio, I said keep it around 1. This is 0.53. So we'll make IBP our featured stock of the day. It's currently ranked at number 158 out of 5,782. And also I will disclose it is a stock that we own in our emerging growth portfolio. Emerging growth portfolio, the market cap of IBP is rather small. I think it's about $2 billion. Let me look that up. It is, IBP is $3.9 billion. Very healthy stock chart. All right. You can't do what you did last year. I'm going to keep drilling that message. Hopefully it's getting through to a lot of individual investors. I know there's a lot of people on Twitter that disagree with me. Well, they've been disagreeing with me since late February, and their momentum stocks continue to get crushed. And, of course, the Cathie Woods of the world, they keep going, moving forward with the high-growth stock. And you can look at the chart of the ARKK fund and how terrible that chart looks like right now. So we do things a little bit differently here at Gunderson Capital. If you like what you hear, maybe you don't. This guy's a crackpot. Give us a call. I've got a staff behind me willing to talk to you. You want to check the risk of your portfolio right now, because this is not a good environment for high-risk stocks. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Start off with the newsletter. A lot of work goes into that every week. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.